Thank you for downloading this message from New Horizon AOG Church. We pray that it inspires you to arise and shine.
Amen. Good. Well, welcome back to my values and vision series. I didn't preach on it last Sunday, but the Sunday after. Everyone enjoy that? Can anyone remember it? No, you've probably slept since. But we're going to just go straight into it. But before I would do, I said every time we're going to look at our values and vision, if you've got Isaiah 60 on the PowerPoint, it says this on Isaiah 60. And these are kind of the words that God spoke to us. When I was in Germany on the Poland and Germany border, reaching out to some incredibly challenging people, and a guy from America preached these words, and these words thunderbolted into my spirit, where God said, I want you to spend your life building this. This is a prophetic word over the nation of Israel. But in the New Testament, well, I still believe God's got a plan for Israel. But in the New Testament, we can apply them to our lives, that we are also the men and women of God. And Isaiah says this, arise and shine. In other words, get out of bed. Yes? Don't sleepwalk your life into the destiny of God, because I don't believe you can do that. But it actually says, arise and shine. God's called us as a church to arise and shine, for your light has come. Yeah. Oh, turn to the person and say, your light's come. Yeah? This is the year. This is the year. For your light has come. And the glory of the Lord doesn't rise on Apple. It doesn't rise on Microsoft to change the world. It doesn't arise on the Conservatives or the Labours or the Liberal Democrats or Jeremy Corbyn and Boris Johnson or whatever. But the Lord rises upon you. The Lord rises upon the church of Jesus Christ. Come on, let's give God some praise. The Lord rises upon you. And why does the Lord rise upon you this morning? See, darkness covers the earth, and we all know that if we live on planet Earth right now, and thick darkness is over the people, but the Lord doesn't rise necessarily on the latest celebrities or influencers or vloggers or bloggers, but the Lord rises upon you. And his glory appears over you. In other words, when you arise and shine, nations will come to your light. Because there's going to be something so different about the church of Jesus Christ. Yeah. In the day and age that we live in, there's going to be something. Nations will come to your light. And kings and queens and people of influence will come to the brightness of your dawn. Amen. Amen. Yeah. Oh, we've got a great dawn. Yeah. Amen. We've got a great tomorrow. If you read the Bible, my God wins. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. Amen. So we're going to be looking about that. But before we look at the vision at the end of the month, we're looking at our values. Because if you are in a position of leadership, whether as CEO of a company or any standard, you will know this, that you can have the best vision in the world, the best vision statement, but if you have the wrong culture, and we get our culture from our values, culture eats vision for breakfast. Yeah. Yes? Yeah. Because you have the greatest vision, but if you don't have the right values, which sets the right culture, if you have a toxic culture, it will eat. And we don't have a toxic culture, but that's why I'm speaking, because we don't want a toxic culture. It will never get to the vision, because a toxic culture will eat vision for breakfast. So we're going to look at our values. We're going to continue with our values. The higher you hope to build, the deeper you must dig. Yeah? So, do you wish to rise? Someone once said, begin by descending. Oh, you plan a tower that pierces the clouds, first lay the foundation of humility. Another person said, a relationship is not based on the length of time you've spent together. It's based on the foundation you have built together. That is absolutely true. And so today we're going to talk about laying foundations. And I said this last time, foundations are not sexy. You don't go around to someone's house and say, let me have a look at your foundation. Yeah, you want to sit on their sofa and look at their light shades. Well, if you do, if you're my wife. But foundations are incredibly important for our lives, because the higher you want to go, yes, the deeper you have to dig. Yeah, so we're just going to look at that. And as we do that, you know, me and a pastor friend, recently we had a meal at the Great Northern. I thought I'd treat him really well. And pray for the pub. We've got a really good relationship with the pub now, and they're always asking about church. And let's pray that they'll come and find salvation. Amen. Really good people. And always asking about how we're doing. And we want to bless them. We want to bless everybody in the community. And as we left the pub, and we had a meal, and he looked at the building as we got to the car park. And then he looked at me and he said these words, and I emailed it to the worship team this week. And I feel it's a statement. He says, a new day needs a new you. A new day needs a new you. And I feel that's prophetic in my life and in your life, because God, I believe, got a new day for this church. He's got a new day for your life. But we've got to make sure that when God gives us a new day, we have a new us. Yes, because if you don't, you'll have a new day and an old you. And when an old day meets an old you, a new day meets an old you, you'll turn the new day back into an old day. Yeah. Is that right? Yeah. Oh, it's a bit challenging, but I just thought I'd lay it out there. And so maybe you've never had a new day because you've never willing to go to work on yourself to make a new you. And so I just want to just say that that's foundation, that maybe as I'm talking on these subjects, that God is just going to speak into your life to make some adjustments regarding the foundation of what you're building on. Because that's how it's been with my journey, that God has had to work through some things in my life, that I'm always working on me as a person. Okay? And so I just want to encourage you. And it's exciting that we're looking at foundations, because it means if God wants to talk to us about foundations and he wants to talk to you about foundations in your life, it means that God is going to start building something new in your life. Amen? Amen. Psalm 97 says this, and I read it last week, and I've lived off this word. The Lord reigns. The Lord reigns. The devil doesn't reign. That negative voice over your life doesn't reign. That criticism that you're holding onto, or that offense, doesn't reign. The Lord reigns. Absolutely. Amen? Right now, you may need to declare over your life, whatever you're facing, the Lord reigns. Let the earth be glad. Let the distant shores rejoice. Clouds and thick darkness surround him. Righteousness and justice are the foundation of his throne. Did we catch that? Fire goes out before him and consumes his foes on every side. His lightning lights up the world. The earth sees and trembles. The mountains melt like wax before the Lord. Come on, Mount Everest. Thousands of pounds of rock. They melt like wax before the presence of the Lord, before the Lord of all the earth. The heavens proclaim his righteousness, and all the people see his glory. And the first value, which is value, we did this last week, but it's part two, is we look in, we are a church of reverence. Everyone say we're a church of reverence. Church of reverence. A church of reverence. That we believe we don't just serve a God, but we serve the God. Yes? That our God's been seated to the highest place. Yes, and I'm not disrespecting anyone who believes in different things, but I'm just a communicator of the Bible and a minister of Jesus Christ. Amen. But we believe in the God, the big G. Yeah. Yes, not a small G. We serve the big G, because my G-O-D is B-I-G.
Right.
Amen? Oh, I'm just rolling out there, just slipping into my youth pastor ways. And I don't mean reverence by we all look miserable, yes, and we all have to, you know, dress ultra conservative, and we live in a monastery, yeah, and we live a perfect life. But I'm talking about that we still live. What does reverence mean? It's with an attitude of deep respect and a tinge of awe when we come to God. Yes? So if you need to understand me and understand this church, that New Horizon Church is a church that is an attitude of deep respect, tinged with awe of who God is and the God that I follow and the God that I serve. Yes? I don't just believe in God Almighty, but we serve a God of the Almighty. Yes? Now, that doesn't mean God's not my friend, because he is. But there's always a respect, healthy respect there. We looked last time at what do we show reverence to. We're a church that reveres the presence of God. We're a church that reveres the Word of God, all of the Word of God, not just the nice bits, yeah, where it's all about bless me, but we heard last week about Job, yes, and we hear some challenging things, and we also revere the will of God. How do we live out a life of reverence? Two things we'll look at this morning, then. How do we live a life of reverence, and what does that look like? Well, first thing you need to know about a life of reverence is that you need the right motivation. If we've got that, you know, motivation's really key. God's not necessarily bothered about what you do. The key things God's bothered about is the motivation behind what you do. You can have the right, do the right thing and have the wrong heart, and God won't bless you, because you can't. Yeah, you can do the wrong thing with the right heart and God will still bless you, because it's about what's going off in your heart. I want to say this morning that if we're going to be a church of reverence, everything needs to flow out of a relationship of love. I've been in the church for 40 years this year, and you know that, and my journey is moving from believer, follower, to lover. Yes? Not in a weird way. Because I can honestly say that there's something on our family, and me and my father have a similar experience, that there's never been a day in my life where I've never believed in God. I know that might be weird. I just get God. I know he's there. Just from, there's a journey that I came a Christian, but I've always believed in God. But it wasn't till I was 18, till I started to think, do you know what? I've got to move from believer to now follower. Yeah, I'm not just going to read the Bible and do the drill as a good Christian in Sunday school back in the day. You know, and I was, can I remember doing that? I mean, I was rubbish at it. I was always the last, lowest in the class. I was way behind everybody else. But anyway, you know, because it's not just about how much you know, it's about what you do with it. Yeah? Yeah. Don't give me a Bible lesson if you're not living it. I have no ears for that whatsoever. Yes? But it's got to become out of love, out of a loving relationship. Because this is true. And sorry, when I was 21, so I became a follower at 18. And when I was 21, I didn't just believe in God, I didn't just follow him, but I had an encounter where I fell in love with God. I'm not ashamed to say I love Jesus with all my heart. And this is the truth. And maybe you've been in church for a long time and we can follow God for all different reasons, trying to please people and trying to fit and do the right thing to get a promotion and different things. But I want to say that everything should flow out of a love for God, because where there's true love, there's true repentance and there's true reverence. I don't mess up in my marriage because I know Becky would kill me. Yes? Because that's one motivation. But because I love my wife, And we have our moments, like we all do. But because I love my wife, I don't mess up because the thought of hurting my wife messes me up. Yes? And that's what love is. So when God speaks to me about doing something, I do it because if I don't do it, I know it hurts God. And why would I hurt the person that I love? And maybe you've been wrestling with motivation all your life. You don't feel good enough, you don't feel, but just if you love God, everything comes easy. I want you to be, you need the motivation of love. Yes? The only worse thing in your life than a faith problem is to have a love problem. And maybe you're on that journey. Maybe you've just believed in God and that's okay. And maybe you've started just to take a few baby steps and follow him. But then you want to get to that place in your life where you fall in love with him. Amen? Because Romans says, therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, in view of God's love, in view of the cross, in view of everything that God's given you that you didn't deserve, in view of that, we make an offering. Yes, that's holy and acceptable, pleasing to God. We need to live a life of reverence. We need the right revelation. We live in a world of incredible information overload. Yes, the latest influencers, vloggers, bloggers, whoever. Everybody wants your attention, propaganda, this, that, and the other. How do you live a life of reverence? Well, the Bible says of itself in Psalm that your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. I want to say this morning, you know, we're dealing with relationships, we're dealing with careers, we're dealing with society, mortgage, rent, all the stuff that we deal with. And if we're not getting the word of God in us, we're just going to stumble around, aren't we, church? And maybe the word for you is, I don't know how to live for God. Can I just say, yes, you're here in church, you're listening, but please, listen, read the Bible. And three, you need the right power to live a life of reverence. We're talking about power in the service. You know, sometimes living for God is going to be so hard because we have to take steps, yes, of faith. But I want to encourage us that when we live with God, that God empowers our lives to live godly lives for him. In Galatians 5, that when we believe in God and we start to love him and we know his word, something starts to happen in our lives, something supernatural. It says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and the last one's a biggie, self-control. See, we need the right power in our lives to live for God, because when we have love and we have the word, two things come and we start to get some power going in our lives. Something starts to happen inside of us and we start to change. Yes?
Yeah.
Good. And the last thing, we need the right habits. Sometimes we get over spiritual about sometimes being disciples of God. And sometimes we are a product of our habits, by the way. You know that? So when me and my wife got married, she got into this really bad habit that when she got in, some of you might know this story, she would get in the house and she would lock the door and leave the key in. Yeah? And so when I get home and it's raining and you've been at work all day, you need a cup of tea, and she's, you know, drying her hair, I can't get in the house. Bang, 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 bang. So she's like, oh, sorry. I'm like, please don't do this. Just take the key out the door. And it happened time and time again. This is like the second or third year of marriage, and it was bang, bang. She was like, oh, you should come in and kiss me and say how beautiful I look. Not just say, quick, get the door open. And one time I went in and I said, and we had this bit of a hoo-ha, I said, don't you love me? I'm outside and I'm banging and I've worked all day to bring some bread and put it on the table and I'm all wet and I'm trying to get in the house. And my heart was broken. And the Holy Spirit speak to me and I'll always remember it. God said, this is like my people. They don't do it because they don't love you. They do it because they're in bad habits. Because there's not a second that Becky didn't love me. Because she does. Because she's a wonderful lady. But she got into a bad habit. And so the next house I bought didn't have a key as one of those swivels, switches. So you can't do it. Amen? And I feel right now I'm going to share for the next few moments and then we're done. And some habits have got to change in this place. Yes? Because God can break habits. I'm believing that maybe there's some addictions in this room. And I'm going to pray at the end of this meeting that the God of all the earth can come and burn something out of your life. I believe that. Because sometimes we're going to break some habits. Because habits are hard. Because you have to stop doing something for 30 times and start doing something for 30 times to change the habit. Are you with me? Because that's why it's habits are hard. Yes? So we're going to get some new habits. Okay. What does a church and a life of reverence look like? The truth is, Christians should live very different lives than people who are not Christians today. Do you know that? And I want to say right at the start that I'm not a saint. Now, I know some of you can't believe that. But I never let God down. I float. I'm better than everybody else. But the Bible says that the heart is desperately wicked. Yes? To all of us, including me, I'm no different. In fact, I've got a bigger target on my back than you. It's just got bigger this week. But in our lives, we've got to wrestle with some stuff. Yeah? Can I be real with you this morning? Yeah. Are you going to still love me after? Yeah. Yes? Because me and Becky and James and Naomi had a meal recently, and Naomi said something over dinner that the hardest things in life nobody talks about. Yes? Oh, I want to be a church that can talk about the hard issues. Yes? And I'm sorry, but that's my upbringing. I spent 25 years of my life in a football dressing room. Okay? So it's hard to shock me. Are you with me? Which is hard for you because you can't con me either. Because I'm real. I've not lived in a bubble. And I'm not perfect myself. Amen? We can do this because in Genesis 6 verse 9, this is the account of Noah and his family. Noah was a righteous man, blameless among the people of his time, and walked faithfully with God. If Noah can do it, we can do it. If I can do it, which I'm not that special, you can definitely do this. See, we live in a world, and we welcome a world to church. This is important. We live in the world, God expects us to live in the world, and we welcome the world into the church. But the church does not think and live like the world. Are you with me? Peter 1, 13 and 17. Therefore, with minds that are fully alert and sober. Yeah? Sober October, be sober in October. That's the word of the Lord for some people. Set your hope on the grace to be brought to you when Jesus Christ is revealed in his coming. As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived, when you was not a Christian. Hello? Yeah. If you become a Christian, you live in the same. Come on, get it sorted. Yeah. As obedient children, do not conform in ignorance, but just as he has called you is holy, so be holy in all you do, for it is written, be holy, because I am holy. Amen? And if you love God, you're going to treat him with reverence like I do my wife. So we're going to look now, and then we're done, 5-10 minutes, at ways that we live out reverence lives. Are you ready? Yeah. Oh, it's a bit controversial this morning. But I've got to make a choice. What church do we want to be in the 21st century? And if you're in this house, we are a church that reveres the word of God. Yes? And if you're not a Christian this morning, this doesn't apply to you. Yes? If you're thinking about becoming a Christian, I'd let you hear it. And if you're a new Christian, you might think, what? What is this guy been smoking? Just hang in there. Yes? And I'm not here to offend anybody because I want to say it from my own personal journey. Okay, number one, and we look at these dead quick. Number one, this one, we show reverence to God with our bodies. Yeah. Our bodies. Yeah. I've said it, our bodies. When I married my wife, I said these things. All that I have, I give to you. Everything. And with my body, I'll honor you. Which means, hello? Yeah. That my wife, my body is not just my body. Ooh. But I share my body with my wife. My wife is the only person. Anyway, we won't go there. It's a family show. Do you not know your bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit? Yeah. Well, what does that mean? It means that God doesn't dwell anymore in temples. Yeah. Yeah. You're the church. Come on. Yeah. Yes, and some of you need a revelation that you are the church. Yeah. Yes, so when you mess with your bodies, yes, it's where God dwells. Yeah. Yeah. This is not the sanctuary anymore, even though it's nice to come. You are the sanctuary.
Yeah.
Yeah. And maybe this is just a word. Maybe, just maybe, you need to stop drinking less than what you drink. Then maybe that may be a word for you. You might need to stop smoking what you're smoking just a little bit. Maybe you need to stop sleeping with who you're sleeping with. I was 25 and every football team knew Andy is a virgin. They couldn't believe it. I'm not saying I'm perfect, okay? But just the value of who I am. Because the Bible says, if you're a Christian, if you're not a Christian, but if you're a Christian, your bodies are not your own. They you were bought with a price. And I know, I've always lived that my body is God's body. My body is my wife's body. Yes, that message is incredibly different to the world that we live in. But I choose to conform my life with what God wants for my body. Honor God with your bodies. Don't freak out. Maybe you feel your seat's a bit warm right now. Go on a journey of honoring God with your body. Yeah? Talk to someone. Second thing, our minds. We've got to show reverence with our minds. We've got to be careful about what we think about. Do you know why? Because the Bible says, the way a man thinks, in his head, in his heart, so he is. In other words, sounds a bit New Age, but it's in the Bible, you become your thoughts. A man once said to me, when I was 20 years of age, he said, Andy, always guard your imagination because in the same space of imagination is where the revelation of God comes. What's going off in your head today? Romans 12, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. What's happening between your ears? Yes? Yeah. I'm 39 years old, I'm nearly 40, and every day I have to make sure that I'm getting a hold of what's between my ears.
Yeah, that's right.
Because as a bit of an introvert, I can live in my head very easily. Yeah. And I'm controlling what I think about. Colossians 3, set your mind on things that are above, not on earthly things. Yeah. You're not sleeping well. You're not coping with life because your head, your mind is all over the place. Yeah. And I know that some of us struggle in bigger areas and in different ways, and I'm not belittling that in any way. But I want to say, church, the Bible says in my journey, I've got to control what gets in here and in here.
Yeah.
Yes? I've got to show self-control
with
what's going off in here. Yes? Set your mind on things above.
Yeah.
You will sleep better.
Yeah.
Yes? What people say about you on social media may hurt, but it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
If you're right with God, let them talk. If God's all right with me, hey, that's all I'm bothered about. Yeah, he's got my back, front, side, everywhere. You died to your life. Hello? Especially if you've been baptized and is now hidden with Christ. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will appear to him in glory. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly desires, sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Ooh. Right, a few more minutes. I really feel if some of you get your thought life sorted, your life's going to be transformed. Yes. Listen to someone who's been on the journey. Becky, she beats me up sometimes, not physically, but say, Andy, come on, get your mind sorted. But set your mind on things above. Yeah. Glorify God. We show reverence with our eyes. Oh, this is a big subject. With our eyes. You know, we live in a world right now that is obsessed to the max with images. Yeah?
Yeah.
With images. And the Bible says about us some alarming things with what happens when we look at certain things. And we realize why the devil, and I'll say how the pastor at the church in New York before he passed away said it, is vomiting his vilest stuff out on humanity because it wants them to be broken and shattered and break relationships and life through what they see. Yeah? The Bible says, guard your eyes. Matthew says it's this important that the eyes are the lamp of the body. So if your eyes are good, your whole body is going to be full of light. If your eyes are dark, your whole life is going to be full of darkness. I want to say this morning, I live with guards on my eyes. We've got to be careful with our young people, what games we're watching them playing. Yeah? What makes a generation, what makes a 14-year-old in London stab a 9-inch blade to another boy's chest? What the heck? How did we get there? It's because we have a generation that's just pumping their lives with darkness. That just want images, images. And if you are a parent in the room, an auntie or an uncle, we've got to have these difficult conversations. Yes, I know as Aaron is a superb nephew and I've got to walk him through. Thanks, Aaron. I've got to walk him through and his dad and mum and dad about sex and life and the birds and the bees and pornography and all the stuff because we've got to start talking. Yeah. Job in 31. This is Job. Remember, we're not talking about, oh, we like to serve God when everything and all of our prayers are being answered. Job, he's lost his wife. He's lost all of his kids. He's lost his wife. If I can say it in a gentle way because it's a family service, he's not had sex for a very long time. And that's okay. It's okay. And Job is like, he says this, in his pain, I made a covenant with my eyes. He made an agreement. Do not look lustfully at a young woman. He said to God, he made an agreement. In the men's ministry, you get ready because I'm going to be sharing lots of stuff. We'll go in different places. He said, I'm going to set a guard over my eyes. You know, because he set a guard over his eyes, God restored all of him. I want to say a prophetic word. Sort your eyes out and God will restore you. God will restore you. God will restore you. Yeah. We got to show reverence with our tongue, what comes out of our mouth. Yes. Let no corruption talk or rubbish or gossip or malice or pulling people down or dishonor. Don't let it come out your mouth. But what only such as God is building up, let that come out your mouth. That's going to bless people. Yes. Gossip in the office, you don't join in. Gossip in the church, we don't join in. If anyone's gossiping around me, I'll cut it dead. This is the house that we built. There's no gossip in this church because if there is, I will step into it. And we have a culture that is like that. Yeah? We don't pull people down, we build people up. Yes? Be careful with your tongue, because the Bible says it's a rudder for your life. Your life will go in the direction of what you say. Ooh, it's a big subject. Maybe you need to have a positive confession over your life. That maybe that's a word for you. We show reverence with our attitude. You know, attitude, people who are sassy. Yeah? I want to say this morning, we in this church, we don't have a big time Charlie mindset. If you've been in football, you know that. Cocky. Yeah? Attitude. Who does this pastor think he is? Oh, he can get lost. He can. You can say that to me. I've had it on my journey. But no, the posture is we serve. The Bible says we should have the same attitude as Jesus. Well, I say, how? How can I help you? In the midst of everything that goes wrong. Yes? And we want to go. So now, come on. We want to be a church that honours, have the right attitude of service. Yes? I live with a thing is, the worse service you give me and treat me, the better I'll serve. It really annoys people. Because that's like Jesus. They nailed him to a cross. And he was still, come on. Bring it on. Not saying sometimes you have to stand up for yourself. Don't be a doormat, but sometimes you just got to serve. The right attitude. We're coming to an end now. Last few things. We reverence, and when we revere God with our money. Oh, he's gone there. Have you seen the advert? The M word. Yeah, the advert, the M word. And no one, oh, we have a generation, yeah, that have got no concept of money. Yes? And I want to say, Jesus in the New Testament speaks more about money than heaven and hell. Do you know that? You read it. And it's not because Jesus wants your money. He speaks on it because he knows that money has one of the greatest influences on your life. And you've got to get it sorted. When I was 18, God came and arrested me about my money. Because we need to get it sorted in our lives. It's foundational to our lives. And in Matthew 22, if you had to spend an hour with the Bank of England, the man of the Bank of England, and say, what could you ask him? This is what you'd ask him, wouldn't it? What should I do with my money? Yeah? Well, Jesus came along, who's the Lord of the Lord, and he created the heavens and the earth, and he created life to exist a certain way. And some person said, Jesus, what should we do with our money? And Jesus says this. Are you ready for it this morning? He says this. Two things with your money. And right now, some of you have got to get into a habit. He says this. Give to Caesar what's Caesar's. In other words, pay your tax. Pay your tax. If you are in, you should pay your tax. If you don't pay your tax, don't never open your mouth about Jesus. Because you're going to make us all look bad. Don't fiddle, because God, you might save a bit of money, but I tell you, God will get it out of your pocket. Pay your tax. I'm sorry, but that's what God says. And he says, give to Caesar's, give to Boris Johnson, I'm sorry, or whoever the government is, what they give. And then you get your money, and it'll come on your payslip. Mine and Becky's, we get ours every month, and they come in. See, right, the taxes get paid. And then he says, give to God's, what's God's? And we believe as a church in tithes and offerings. We believe as a leadership and a staff that 10% of all of our income, and I've been on this journey since I was 18, 10% of my income, I want to, in words of Jesus, it's not yours. It's not yours. It's not yours. And don't say, oh, yeah, but Andy, I'll tithe my time. No, it doesn't say that. And maybe for you that's like, ah! But I'm just saying what the Bible says. 10%. 30 grand, that's £300 a month. Combined income of 60 grand, that's £600 a month. Yeah? I want to say this morning, because you know what? Because I revere God so much in my life, I want to say this morning, I'm just being real with you. Nobody fly off the handle. I'm being real as a person. If I didn't give God what was God's, I couldn't live. I could not live church. I couldn't sleep. Because it's not mine. It's His. And the least I can do is give God's what's His. And maybe right now you might say, Andy, well, that's fine for you because I'm maxed out to the hilt. I want to say the word for you. You've got to make a start. And this is not a fundraising talk, but this is laying a foundation because the Bible says, it's the only time God says it, you give what God's is God. And God, what does He say? Test me. You give me what is mine, because it's not just about money. It's about your faith saying, God, You are the Lord of my life. Finance is so important because the Bible says where your treasure is, your heart is also. Yeah? And if you give, the Bible says, see that I'll throw out the windows of heaven to pour out in your life. Maybe you've hit a brick wall, but maybe the word for you is, I want to say gently, and I'm going there this morning because we're a church of reverence. Is it time to sort your finance out? Is it time to stop tipping God and actually saying, get my income in, budget, what does it look like? That's what I've done since I was 18 years of age. And when we got married, we set a budget and we live with three buckets. First bucket, tithe, 10% of our income. It goes in. It's not even a debate. Because I couldn't even live and walk. I couldn't even be here this morning. It's there. Because the Bible says, if you don't, I won't go there, but it says, you're robbing God. Yeah. It's there. The other bucket, 10% saving. Now that differs if you've got two children that are growing. Yes? One bucket, 10%. 10% saving, and that's your budget to live on. Yeah. If you're below 30, if you live like this, and I'm finished in 2 minutes, if there's one thing I would tell my 18-year-old self is this would be it. One of the three things. Sort out your dosh. 10%. Whether you're earning on a paper round, I would tithe. Yeah? You might think, Andy, what does my £5 going to do? Well, it's not about that. It's about you just saying, God, you're going to be the prime of my life. It's about honouring God with your dosh. I want to say this morning, if you do that, I just feel God's going to break forth. You know why I'm finished now, but you know why I love this building? Because it's a building of reverence. Yeah. Some people fed their family beans on toast. Hello? Yeah. To be here. Yeah. They couldn't buy the kids what they wanted for Christmas and got them something different. That's why we're here. Yeah. We didn't buy cars, or some people didn't buy cars that they could have because they gave. Yeah. I want to be real with you because this didn't just fall from the sky. And that's why we're a church of reverence. God asked us to do something and we went to that challenge. And I want to say, I just feel there's a word coming for every single person who gave. I want to join you in this. God wants to say, God's going to repay it all. You didn't give it because you wanted to get anything out of it. But I feel God is going to start, God's going to burst through in lots of different areas in your life because that's what happens when we show reverence with our money. I want to say this morning, we're a church of reverence with our bodies, with our minds, with our eyes, with our tongue, with our attitude, with our monies. With our service, as we're going to talk about tonight, about serving the Lord, with the example that we set. And right now, as we sit here in God's presence, and I know I've gone over, so I apologize, let's stand. And right now, I don't want anybody in this church right now to think, well, I've just messed up so bad. And Andy, I cannot get to where you're at. I want to say, it's not about that. There's the grace of God that forgives all sin.
That's right.
So right now, if you've messed up, like I've messed up in life, if you've messed up, it's not uncommon. I'm sure we've all messed up in life. In certain areas, we're strong in certain areas and can be weak in certain areas. But right now, you just need to say, God, I'm just sorry for all that.
Yeah.
And you've got to really receive, like, the forgiveness of God. Say, God, I'm sorry. And maybe right now you've got to say, God, I need to start putting you first. not just in the nice areas of my life, but I've got to put you first in the foundation of my life, which will affect how I live on a daily basis. And I believe as you do that, the Bible says, seek first the kingdom of God and everything else will be given to you. And right now I've talked about seeking first the kingdom, which is the church of reverence. Right now I just feel you are forgiven by what Jesus Christ did on the cross. And maybe right now there's areas that we're going to pray into that you feel God has spoken clearly to your life of how to live. And you need to say, God, I want to make that commitment. Whether it's your attitude, your eyes, your body, maybe all of it, money, whatever it is. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you this morning that you are the Lord of all the earth and you reign. And we want to say as a New Horizon Church that we don't serve you because we have to, but we serve you and follow you because we love you. And Lord, we don't want to hurt you because we love you so much. Oh Lord, I just pray as we lay the foundation, Lord, I just pray right now that people will start laying foundations of a godly life, a faith-filled life in their lives, that you want to see them grow, you want to establish things in their lives. And Lord, I just pray as we invest and as we sow into your kingdom, your word says that whoever soweth, he reapeth. And Lord, I just pray that as we start to sow the right things into our lives, that we will see a harvest of blessing and of goodness and of your faithfulness over the house. And all God's people said, amen. Let's give God a big round of applause.
We hope that you've enjoyed this message. For any more information or to download our weekly podcast, please go to www.newhorizonchurch.org.uk.